He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh. And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started. Who sings that song?
Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas, baby. JD, I got to tell you, this is where, how do I want to put this? It all comes together in my life. And we've got a Western Conference final game tonight. We got some golf on the agenda tomorrow.
Yeah, big golf.
And then we got Western Conference game 3 on Sunday. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get any better than this. And I've got that anticipation where I know it's a big game. A couple butterflies. Well, not butterflies. But I'm looking forward to watching the game tonight.
Got
big
action?
Game 2.
Were you watching the game? You got action?
Somewhere down in Monterey.
Oh, okay.
I've been talking to my main man, Spadoni, who has been giving me some suggestions. And, so I'll be down there. How about this? Warriors have won, but this is not good for Dallas. Warriors have won 14 of their last 15 game 2s at home. Dun, 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 dun. Good luck, Dallas.
On the one game they lost, they had a 30-point lead in that stretch.
That's right. It was at Clippers, right?
In 2019, game 2 of the first round, which led to the... Remember that was a weird game where Kevin Durant wasn't shooting? And everybody's like, why is Kevin Durant not shooting? And it led to the rant in between game 2 and game 3.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know who I am.
I thought that
he wanted
was
to get
limited.
Into a back and forth with Patrick Beverley.
I thought that was limited to the regular season, at the end of the regular season. I didn't know he carried that into the playoffs.
No, that was that game. I can't remember how many shots he took, but he was very unaggressive. And then there was the, I'm Kevin Durant, and then he proceeded to score like 40 and 50 and 38 the rest of the series.
Wow.
You know who I am.
Yeah, we all do.
No back
we
and forth do. With Patrick Beverley.
So I'm thinking about the Warriors. I'm thinking about the Warriors game tonight, JD. By the way, I'm going to say this a lot, and we may even get into this a little bit because it's important. 6 o'clock start. Giants game tonight, also 7:15. You're going to want to get there early. Take your time because it's a process getting into the game. You got to get off work early if you're a 9-to-5
guy. Especially today, it's Friday.
You got it.
Beautiful day in the city.
Exactly.
I mean, I you know, whatever. You got to take a couple hours sick pay. You know, fine. You can have what you know. Just pay it forward a little bit.
Exactly. So when we came into the series, there were a couple things that I was going to look for, and one was the one thing we talked about was, you know, who do the Warriors have to guard Luka? And we ran through all the guys, and Draymond's name came up, and my first thought was, do you want him guarding Luka that far from the basket? Curry gotten switched on him a few times in the regular season. That didn't work out so well. And even in a couple of those games during the regular season, JD, Wiggins guarded him, but he didn't guard him like he did in game 1. Wiggins did a hell of a job on Doncic in game 1. The question is that the outlier or is that the sign of trouble for Dallas? Because like we were talking about yesterday, if the Warriors can guard Luka with Wiggins for the most part, and guys get switched up all the time, but for the most part.
Yeah, it's the primary.
Primary. And then Looney switches out on Doncic and can keep him managed.
Sure, which he did very well.
Then I don't see a path for the Mavericks to win.
I think that's an astute point. I think Luka's going to play better just because
you would
he's
think.
That good. I think he's going to play a lot better. The thing that I'm looking for tonight is the three-point shot, both ways.
Okay.
Because I think Dallas made a big deal about how they missed all these open shots, and that's why they're not really worried about it. And what I want to see is, okay, are you going to make 15 threes tonight? Are you going to make 18 threes tonight? And I think the Warriors are going to make more than 10, although, as you pointed out yesterday, they took fewer than they typically do, and a big reason why is because they were shooting 68% from inside the arc, and Dallas was really trying to take the three away. So the Warriors used that against the Mavs in game one. The three-point shot, though. All right, Dallas, let's see. You going to make those open looks tonight or clank, clank, clank? Because if it's clank, 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 it's going to be 2-0 Warriors.
No doubt about it. And you know, that's one of my frustrations, JD. Like, that so much of this comes down to the three-point shot.
That's why all the blowouts are happening, I think.
I think you're right. I just wish, I don't know, I wish we're a little more subtle than that. But you're right. Dallas comes out tonight for the most part and goes 20 for 44 from three.
They'll have a shot to win at least.
Yeah. They'll have a shot on the road. At home, I think they win that kind of game. But nevertheless, just the fact that if it comes down to three-point shooting, and that's the be-all and end, well, the Warriors aren't going to lose this series.
Well, and that's the difference for me is I think the Warriors can win games and the series without shooting the three-ball well. Dallas cannot win games or the series, maybe a game.
Right.
But they cannot win the series if they don't shoot the three-ball
well.
So we can get into rebounding and defense and Luka. It's all connected.
I missed. So do you think the Warriors can win the series without shooting the three-ball well?
Yeah, I think they're 1-0 without shooting the three-ball well. That's from their point of view only, I view it that way.
See, you know, it's funny. It's 35% would probably – I'd be with you. But to me, the Warriors, the three-ball was like a non-issue for them in game one.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't shoot it great. They didn't shoot it poorly. They didn't shoot it a lot.
They only made 10.
Right.
And that's on the low end. Dallas, I think, averages 15 makes.
Well, Dallas shot 57% of their shots from three-point range.
Yeah,
and you know what? And I want to Evan brought this up, our producer, and I think it's a very fair point. So Dallas took 48 threes, and they only took 6 shots at the basket. That smells of fatigue. Now, you might say, well, how can they be fatigued in a game one while they were coming off a 7-game series? But when you start taking a lot, it's so much easier for a player who's tired to shoot a three than to do the work of driving to the basket. It is
great call.
It's one of those things where if you've ever played basketball on any level, you know that when you're dead tired, you want to shoot it from the outside as opposed to drive.
So you think the Mavs are going to be less tired tonight?
Well, I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know what it was. Maybe it just worked out that way. They've got to be more conscious of that, at least this game. There were a couple plays in the first game where I thought Luka got within spitting distance kind of the rim, and rather than try to finish, he would kick it out. Maybe he tries to finish more of those tonight. Maybe he tries to get to the foul line a little bit more tonight. But that's easier said than done if the Warriors can kind of pack it in, JD. Look, if the Warriors can pack it in and the Dallas Mavericks aren't making shots, well, then this is going to be a short series, and it's likely to be non-competitive. Like, Dallas has to do something to at least get the Warriors thinking about a different way to defend Dallas. Because right now, they're just guarding them like it were a normal regular season game, or they did in the first. I mean, I know they had their, you know, couple zone defense, but they basically said, Andrew, go guard him, see if you can pick him up. He did. Looney, switch out, just like always, he did. And Luka was 6 for 18. So my question is, if you're the Warriors, do you change anything? Or do you just go into this game and say, no, we're just going to do the same thing. We're putting Wiggins on him, and we'll trust Kevon Looney, And we'll have everybody...
A little bit of clay, mix it up.
We'll have everybody looking at Doncic when he makes his move, because we're always going to help. Or do you, I don't know, do something different? And I don't know what that would be.
I think you need to see how Dallas adjusts to what you did to them in game one. I mean, they Warriors went zone. They looked like they never seen a zone defense before in their life. I mean, it was on the Warriors' terms Wednesday night.
Right.
Everything was.
It was. It absolutely was. And, you know, that's it's pretty simple. Dallas's success comes when Luka gets a lot of attention, he passes, and then they have three-point shooters. But if you can guard Luka without over-helping, then all those three-point shots, they ain't open. They ain't as open. The floor's more crowded. So that's going to be a big part of tonight's game as far as I'm concerned. If the Warriors are allowed, not allowed, but if the Warriors can defend Luka essentially and the Mavericks like they did in game one, then I'm not sure what the answer is for Dallas.
Who is this a bigger game for tonight?
I think it's a bigger game for the Warriors, but that's going to make it sound like I'm saying it's a must-win for the Warriors.
It's not.
I'm saying it's a bigger game for the Warriors just because they win tonight, and the tenor of this series is set. Bottom line, we know the Warriors have always won a road game in every playoff series they were at. So I'm not saying the game's bigger for the Warriors, but what I'm saying is I think the Warriors want this one in a big way tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger game for the Warriors tonight. Although, either way, and look, I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. I feel like the Mavs are more apt to win game three and four at home than they are to win tonight. I don't think it's over either way necessarily.
Right.
But the Warriors, for a lot of the things we've talked about, playing better when rested. And with each game now, that rest goes away for the Warriors. One day between game one and game two, then it's going to be one day with a travel tomorrow, and then game three. To me, there's an added importance for the Warriors to play well early in this series because of the way that they've played in prior series toward the middle and the end, where it has had that feeling almost as if they're hanging on. So I think it's a big game for the Warriors in that sense. And it also just immediately puts no matter how you do it, whether you win close, you blow them out.
Right.
Like, if you get up 2-0, game three is a must win for the Mavs.
Right.
And that's the position where, okay, let's see if you go home and automatically start shooting the three ball better than you have in maybe the first two games of this series. It just, there's that added element of, maybe the Mavs come out and they're up early, but the Warriors are hanging around, and it feels like it's a little closer than maybe it should be, like a couple of the games in Memphis were. And then there's always that one run that you can go on to where maybe a game where you aren't the better team, you're right there and it's tied and it's coming down the stretch. You get a little bit of a lead and the crowd gets a little tight. You got that opportunity to end the series in game three. You win tonight, you give yourself that chance to just snuff it out in a game three without even having to play all that well. It just puts so much pressure on the opponent to have to come through and have that be their night.
You know what? And I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's also but I can look at it from the other way too. We go back to Dallas and Dallas is down 2-0. Well, then Dallas is it almost invites Dallas playing looser than if it's 1-1. And now it's like, you know what? We could possibly beat these guys.
Well, I think that's typically why you see teams like that get off to good starts when they're down 2-0 at home.
Yeah.
But it's not even that for me. It's the Warriors just kind of, now you get down 12-15, so what? If you make that one little run that puts a little bit of doubt, then you have an opportunity maybe to steal it. And if you steal one of those two, it's night-night.
All righty. Here's what's going on. Warriors trying to grab a 2-0 Western Conference Finals lead tonight against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks at the Chase Center. Tip-off for Game 1 set for 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Live, 4:30, everybody, 4:30. and it's presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience. Coming up on the other side, Bob Fitzgerald, television voice of the Golden State Warriors.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Matt Steinmetz and John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Game two tonight, 6 o'clock, Chase Center, 6 o'clock, everybody. Try to get there early. There's a Giants game at 7:15, and we're encouraging everybody to plan ahead. Plan ahead and get there early. Let's welcome in Bob Fitzgerald, television voice of the Golden State Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. What's going on, Bob? How you doing, man?
Well, I'm glad you're saying 6 o'clock because that is so critical because thousands of people were stacked up at the entrance at the tip for game one, and they're going to need you tonight. So 12:30, leave work now. Wherever you are, Matt Steinmetz says, it's time to leave. It's a Friday. Get out of there and get to Chase Center. Get home. Get your party started. But it's important that everyone is there right at tip because the Warriors are going to need all Dub Nation tonight.
Yeah, Bob, let me ask you this. Game one, you know, obviously things happened. Wiggins, nice job on Luka Doncic. Dallas didn't make threes. The Warriors did what they had to do. When do you kind of, when you're watching a series, determine when a trend might be starting as opposed to just a game?
Well, it'll be after tonight. You know, I mean, Dallas 11 of 48 on threes game one. Remember, Dallas was coming off of that game seven, and that's not easy. So, you know, they threw out a clunker. If Dallas is 11 for a billion again on threes, the Warriors have this series, then it's over. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dallas is going to be very good tonight. And this is a huge game to whether or not this is going five or whether this is going seven.
Bob, what did you think that maybe the Warriors didn't do well? When you win by the margin they won, it's kind of, all right, everything went pretty well. But what do you think their focus is as far as what they can do better or correct from game one to game two?
Well, I think the thing that was crazy was seven Warriors in double figures. My God, like if you... I've said this in the regular season. I'm going to continue to bang the drum. I was able to go to practice and talk to him about this a little bit. When Draymond scores 10 or more points, the Warriors never lose. I mean, just Draymond was so brilliant in game six against Memphis and so good in game one. You know Draymond's going to pass. You know he's going to defend. You know he's going to rebound. You know he's going to be tough. You know he's going to be a leader. I believe in his offense maybe more than he believes in his offense. I loved him getting the ball and going coast to coast and laying it in. When he gets double-figure points, I just think the Warriors are so much better. But what was a little worrisome? How good Brunson was in the lane finishing. You know, I know he didn't hit threes. Nobody on Dallas did. But, man, Jalen Brunson gets around that first defender. And then as a little guy, he's so efficient scoring in the gaps and in the creases in the lane. That Luka, you already know, is incredible. But you don't need Brunson and Dinwiddie also clicking, and that's the worrisome thing if they get all three of those guys kind of rolling together.
Bob Fitzgerald joining us on 95.7 The Game. Let's turn from what you worry about to maybe on the other hand, who do you see on Dallas? Forget Steph and Clay. They could have a little matchup issue with Jordan Poole, it seems like.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And the great thing, and this was led by Draymond, led by Looney, led by Wiggins, and then Jordan came along for the ride. The drives where, oh, there's no Jaren Jackson anymore. There's no Steven Adams anymore. There's no Xavier Tillman anymore. Like, I love that they went, let's just keep going at these guys, whether it's Kleber or Powell, and get to the rim. And so if you're Dallas, you need a much better game from Finney Smith. And you better be careful because it wasn't the Warriors dicing you up on threes. It was the Warriors relentlessly getting twos and high-efficiency twos getting to the rim. I loved the approach for that from the Dubs.
What is clicked for Andrew Wiggins in the playoffs, just doing all of the little things and scoring when needed. I mean, 15 huge points in the first half when Steph and Clay weren't shooting it well, and then the defense on Doncic. I mean, he set the tone, I thought, for the collective effort that the Warriors had against him. I mean, he's almost getting better as the playoffs go on.
I think that's a great observation. I think if you look in the Denver series, it was Wiggins rebounding and really Wiggins, Porter, and Clay's rebounding throughout the playoffs that have given the Warriors, the small Warriors that are going to get crushed on the glass. They've won the rebounding battle in so many of these games. I love the Wiggins trade when it happened. And I would have loved it if it was Wiggins for D'Angelo straight up, because I think they just fit better with their teams. I just think Andrew Wiggins is undervalued and underappreciated, and I think that he is playing his best basketball with the biggest bright lights, and whatever it is to get him to smile or whatever it is to get this placid, incredibly polite Canadian to grind a little bit. I'm crediting Jama a lot, you know, who's also Canadian, who's a new addition to the coaching staff. I just love where Wiggins is at, and I think he's got a little burr under his saddle of, let me show everybody what I can bring to the table, and the whole asking Mike Brown and Steve, let me pick up guys full court, let me lock in and play defense. I just think Wiggins is a big part of what's going right with the Warriors right now.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, enjoy the game tonight.
What do you guys think? Is it close? Is it tight? Is it 2-0? I mean, where are you at?
2-0 for me. I think it's tighter than it was the other night. I think both teams shoot the three ball better, but the Warriors win 8 by 8 to 10.
I feel like this is a game the Warriors really are smart enough to know they want badly. You know what I mean? Like, not that if they lose they're in trouble, but more let's define the tenor of this series by winning again tonight. All That's right, kind of what I think.
Here's the problem. Doncic shot 8 free throws in game one. He'll be north of 15.
Who we got tonight?
It ain't good.
Who do we got? Who's reffing tonight?
Kane Fitzgerald's back.
Kane's okay. It's go further down the list. It's I'm just saying you may know that, you know, you may know the name of the third official tonight, which is not good.
All right. All right, Bob.
Guys.
Have fun.
Right, be good. Take care.
Sir. What is it, Murat Kogut? Or
I just what's his name? I actually I'm finding it right now. I was looking at it earlier there. And then I found it. It's Eric Lewis and Ben Taylor.
No, I don't know. I can't picture Ben Taylor. That must be the guy he's talking about. Eric Lewis is a pretty good ref.
I got nothing else for you. Kane Fitzgerald's the one that, you know, game one in Memphis threw Draymond out.
Okay. I mean,
well, that's the one that's got Warrior fans up in arms for tonight.
But they're just getting Warrior fans just getting to know Kane Fitzgerald, not like Scotty Foster.
Well, something's up with Scott Foster too, because he had an illness or something.
Oh, did he?
I think, and he had been kind of out of the mix, I think, due to illness, and I think there was some thought maybe he was going to get back in because he hadn't done the first two games of the East, and now he's not doing the first two games of the West, so maybe they're saving him for game three in Dallas or game three in Boston.
888-957-9570 is the number. Game two tonight, 6 o'clock, Western Conference Finals. Warriors back in it. They are back in it. And my question to Warrior fans is, let's say you're Steve Kerr. You're not sure what to expect from Dallas tonight, but do you just kind of use the same strategy that you used in game one, which is have Wiggins be the primary defender on Doncic, guard Jalen Brunson with Draymond Green a good chunk, depend on Kevon Looney to be able to keep Doncic under control, take your chances with contested threes or the occasional open three? Or do you have a curveball? Do you need to use a curveball? This is always where Pops used to always say this, JD. Like, if you have something to employ, a strategy that you think is going to work, or his thing was, if you think you can pick a guy's pocket, you know, you can steal the ball from a guy, don't do it. Don't do it right away. Wait till you have to do it.
Yeah.
And so I wonder
That's typically how the Warriors have rolled.
Exactly. Although, what would you say to this? But then again, JD, they did play some box and one and zone in game one.
Well, game one is a little different. Game one, you're prepping the series. So you're in game one, you're coming out with whatever you've prepped and leading up to. So you want to mix. Clearly, the Warriors wanted to mix it up.
Right.
And they wanted to set a tone for how they were going to defend Doncic, and you see if it works, you see if it doesn't. So to me, you keep it rolling, and you see what the adjustments are that Dallas makes, and then you kind of go from there in game to maybe what your next adjustment would be. I always, Steve Kerr has said this over and over, especially when a team blows another team out in game one, the emotional force adjustment from the team that lost is right. The biggest thing. Like, they just play so much harder and more forcefully typically.
Exactly.
So that's what the Warriors, I think, have to brace for.
Right. And you know what
because you said you didn't think the Mavs played hard enough.
Well,
not that they were going through the motions, but...
Well, here's what... It wasn't an effort level thing. It was more that, you know, again, it felt like they were treating it like a Phoenix series in which they had already established something. You know, like I said, they won 4 out of 5 against Phoenix to win that series. So I just think in their heads, maybe they're thinking, you know, we found something here against Phoenix. Let's go out and do it again against the Warriors. Well, you know, the Warriors had some rest and they had a plan, and it was a detailed plan, and it kind of, I don't want to say caught Dallas by surprise, but I think it's, if you're on Dallas, you went back into the locker room after the game and said,
it's just got to be different.
We got to play harder. We got to scratch and claw. Like, I guess that's, I didn't detect any scratching and clawing from the Dallas Mavericks. Check this out, JD. Why is everyone saying Dallas, this is from the text line 650, why is everyone saying Dallas is coming off of a 7-game series with only one day of rest between games? It doesn't seem to be. I think it's every bit of psychological disadvantage for Dallas coming off a 7-game series and then having to start up a new one again. But I think that's going to be a legitimate. The point is, if they were fatigued in game one, what makes anybody think the Dallas Mavericks?
Why would
Mavericks
they be in better shape now?
Right.
To me, you almost wouldn't get a lift until you get home.
Right. Well, I do think there's something to age in that thing.
Right. It's like we were talking about yesterday. At some point, the Warriors being the older team, they lose something out of the cup, and maybe the Mavs as the younger team and going home and maybe just able to have a little more in the tank, at some point they can settle or rise a little from where they were and the Warriors are on a dip, and at what point does maybe that cross?
Right, right. Yeah,
but I think tonight the Warriors still have the advantage there.
Well, yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. I think it comes into play more when they start traveling.
I think it flipped, like Sunday's where it flips. And not that the Mavs, I mean, to me, that's the first opportunity for it to flip. Warriors, one day off, flying halfway across the country, older team. Mavs are going to get juice from going home. To me, that's where it has the potential to be at a crossroads.
What,
and then from there with every other day. And
when are they flying out? Right after the game?
No, the Warriors are going tomorrow. The Warriors are going out tomorrow, man. And no practice tomorrow. I think there's going to be some kind of Zoom media availability in the evening tomorrow after they land. But they're going tomorrow, and they're also staying over after game four and then flying back. So if there's a game five, they're staying after, flying back, you know, I don't know, 11
That's
in the
a
morning.
Long trip.
It's like 3.5 hours.
So it's longer it's longer from Dallas to the Bay than Miami to Boston, right?
That I wouldn't know. I think seems about maybe similar.
5-1-0, it wasn't that Luka was gassed in the fourth quarter. He was gassed in the first quarter.
That's true.
Well, how did that happen?
I don't know, but he looked tired, and maybe some of that was just the way the Warriors were defending him.
So if that's the case...
I mean, Wiggins putting it, you know, coming out, getting on him. Full court,
well,
pressuring him.
I mean,
I don't care if it's good pressure, bad pressure. Like, just making him have to. I mean, let me put the rat on the table.
Go ahead.
I mean, Luka's terrific, but
Say, not in great shape. Okay. No, you're right. I mean,
it doesn't look that way.
Said,
at least
he said as much. He said as much.
He's fat.
He's not fat. Please.
I mean, remember when Jokic was a little thick, and then he during the pandemic.
Well, Jokic got tired in that series too against
but,
the Warriors.
But Jokic, at the point I'm getting at is, at some point I think Luka's going to have to take his fitness a little more seriously.
Sure.
And Jokic did during the pandemic. He went. Remember, he dropped all the weight and got more cut.
I vaguely do.
Yeah,
vaguely do.
Because remember that 19 series they played when they played Portland. I mean, Jokic was. They had that 3 overtime game, and he
played
60 minutes or something.
That's right.
And it's like,
right.
Whoa! And he was heavy then. And
that's
then that next year with the pandemic, during the time where nobody could do anything, he flipped it.
Go ahead, Spadaro.
I was going to say, him and Luka, Jokic, that is, the top 10 athletes with just no definition at all. No muscle definition, but they somehow just, it works every time.
Let me tell you who else had that coming out of college, no definition, was Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that picture?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
of Brady.
It's a famous one. He still kind of doesn't have any.
Yeah. Him and me.
You on that TB12 method, Steiny?
No. Okay. No, I'm not.
No chance.
What about my idea that if you're Steve Kerr, do you just kind of roll with the way you did it in game one?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Cause
you don't need to do anything other than make sure you come out and understand the force by which the Mavs are going to play.
Yeah.
And I'm of the belief, like, you know what? I'll say it this way. You know what, Dallas? Let's see if you make those shots. Like, because there's a lot of the open looks, and you know, smarter people than me really broke down. We had Ryan McDonough on yesterday, and I asked him point blank, you know, what'd you think of the looks? He had the data.
Right.
Clearly, he had gone in and looked at the tracking data as every team would, and were they really good looks? Were they not? He thought they were. There is this.
Well, what'd you think? I thought they kind of were too. The first quarter, talking about the first quarter, Bullock had 2 great looks. They had that sequence where they missed 3 in a row.
I think they're just a hot and cold team from 3, and it was a cold night. I thought they took some bad ones. I thought they took some bad ones that were open. And you know, if those aren't hitting, I do think you need to be a little more careful if you keep taking them, because that's going to lead to runouts the other way. But my whole thing is, let's see, right? They were open looks. You typically make more of them. I think there was smarter people than me saying that hey, these shots are going to go in, and the Warriors are going to be in a little trouble if they do go in. Okay. All right. But again, I know I'm coming off as a little smug in the way I'm saying that, but let's just see. Let's just see if they go in.
What about if you're Dallas defensively against the Warriors?
You got to be better at
everything.
You got to be better at stopping. I don't know athletically that they match up as well as they need to.
Well, that's something that's going to present itself one way or the other.
And the Warriors just disciplined. Like, they didn't fall into the trap of taking the quick 3. Like the defense was giving them the mid-range and giving them the basket, and I thought Fitz was right. There is really no shot-blocking presence at the rim for Dallas, which is huge. So, as far as the Mavs go, and they got to do what they did in terms of getting the Warriors off the line, but they also have to be able to stop the Warriors inside the line.
And
I'm a little skeptical as to whether they can do that consistently in this series, to be perfectly
honest. Well, they
only
have one player, to me, playable, that can possibly do that, and that's Powell. But he didn't play much in game one. And, you know, to me, Powell is athletic enough and big enough to try to be more of a factor in the interior, maybe changing some of the Warrior shots or getting some offensive rebounds and creating second and third opportunities for Dallas. But there's been a lot of, went back and looked at his numbers against the Warriors over the years. He's had a lot of games where he did nothing against the Warriors. He's had a couple where he did all right, but I think he's the guy to me, when you say the athleticism of the Mavericks isn't what the Memphis Grizzlies is, you're right. So those few players that are athletic, they better be able to play, and Powell's one of them. And the other thing I think we're going to find out, too, is how good of an athlete is Finney Smith, really? You know, he's not Kuminga. You know what I'm saying? In terms of raw athleticism.
Like, the one thing Finney Smith needs to do is make threes.
No doubt.
Like, that's, to me, it's, again, I don't mean to be smug and kind of flippant about it, but are they going to make threes or are they not going to make threes? If Dallas doesn't make threes, they can't hang in this series. They can't win if they don't make threes. They didn't in game one. Warriors did a lot of other things well. They deserve credit for that. But if this is really going to be a series, the Mavs have to outshoot the Warriors from three. The Warriors, I don't think, have to outshoot the Mavs necessarily.
You want to take this one, even though it's addressed to me?
Sure.
Steiny thinks all that matters is if the Mavericks hit threes. That's it. Warriors can't possibly win if the Mavericks hit threes.
Well, that's
what an amazing take.
Well,
pure genius.
I just said I disagreed with that. So
I'm telling you right now,
if Dallas makes threes, Dallas the Warriors can still win.
Right, but Dallas has to make threes.
Yeah, that's their only shot.
Right, and that might not be enough to do it.
That's exactly why I didn't think they could win the series.
Well, we'll see.
And
we'll find out more
tonight.
I don't
think they're as athletic as Memphis, per se. I didn't think they were going to be able to lock the Warriors up in the same ways that Memphis did. Even that Phoenix would have. Like, I know we got caught up in this because Dallas beat Phoenix. And, like, I've been thinking about this all week. The Warriors did catch a break. They did catch a break, and that's okay. It doesn't take anything away from what they accomplish if they wind up. But let's not be the prisoner of the moment of, well, Phoenix wasn't playing. I think the Phoenix was not playing well enough to where the Warriors would have beat Phoenix.
Right.
But, you know, it still would have been a 6-7 game series, I think. It wouldn't have been the dominance or the potential dominance that I think we could see in this series.
That's where I disagree with you, Hare.
Yeah.
And there's no way to prove it. I just think what shows up in the postseason shows up in the postseason. And if Phoenix would have somehow figured out a way to win game seven, they still would have been at the same point they were at after losing game seven, which was coming apart essentially. And there's just no denying those last three games by Chris Paul and how ineffectual he was.
It's silly to say it, but I do still think that's why I would have picked the Warriors in that series. And you're right. It doesn't matter because it's not what's going on. It's the Warriors and the Mavs. But I still think the Suns would have been a more difficult opponent with home court advantage, with some of, you know, they still at that point, because they would have beaten Dallas, had some semblance of the pedigree that they had built up from all of the things. Like, that got wiped out from them. Like, they don't, like, they're toast when it comes to that as far as the future goes for me. Like, anything they thought they had is gone. But they still would have had that if they had hung on and won the Dallas series, even though that series had been more difficult. So, it, you know, not for nothing. I just don't. Warriors are, they caught a little break. And look, Dallas deserved to win the series. Like, I'm not throwing shade at them either. The best team doesn't always win the series. I think that's a case where the best team didn't win that series. But Dallas deserved it.
We're kind of talking in circles, but I think Phoenix, as is, still a better defensive team than Dallas. But I think where the Warriors would have picked them apart is they would have figured out a way to exploit Chris Paul.
I agree.
I think the Warriors would have really bogged down Phoenix's offense.
I would almost guarantee that series would have gone six. We'll see if this series goes six.
Hey, you want the news without the noise? Then catch Dan Abrams and Ashley Banfield back-to-back weeknights starting at 6 Pacific on the fastest-growing cable news network in America, News Nation. Go to newsnationnow.com/join us to find your television provider. All right, let's get into it after the break. 888-957-9570. I'm going to put this one on Warrior fans. There's a phrase that Steve Kerr uses a lot, and it's called appropriate fear. Appropriate fear of an opponent. Warrior fans, how are you feeling? Do you have the appropriate fear of the Dallas Mavericks? Or do you think what you saw in game one is translatable into games two, three, four, etc.? How you feeling? Do you have the appropriate fear, Warrior fans? Or do you think the Warriors are sitting real, real pretty? 888-957-9570.